It's time for Cash Flow Podcasting. Join your host, Ben Kruger, to crack open the secrets to generating massive influence, income, and freedom through the power of Cash Flow Podcasting. Here we go.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Cash Flow Podcasting Show. I'm Ben Kruger. This is going to be a lot of fun. One thing that I want to share with you today before we get into today's episode content is if you're out there listening and you've been considering podcasting or you have been podcasting and you feel like, you know, it's a little bit of a tough journey. There's been a lot of questions. You're not really sure how to get started or the tools to use or what's going on, or you've been working on your show for a while, but you're trying to figure out how to make it more effective and you just want to really utilize the medium as best you can. I want you to know that you're in the right place and we're here to support you and to support your podcasting journey, your growth as an authority and as an expert. And I hope that this resource is everything that you ever have hoped for when it comes to helping you leverage podcasting really effectively. And I want you to know that you're not alone. There's thousands of other listeners to this podcast around the world that are all on a very similar journey to you. So know that you're not on your own. You can always connect with the community and myself at cashflowpodcasting.com. And I would love to hear more directly from each and every one of you because I love connecting with folks and making sure we can help as much as possible to turn your podcast into the most effective tool. So let's dive into today's content. Today, we're going to be talking with a gentleman who is a client of Cashflow Podcasting. And this is going to be a little bit of a case study on the impact that podcasting has had for his brand. I'm not going to tell you a whole lot right now about David Saltzman's business, because when we get into the interview, he's going to share some really interesting insights into what he does and how he goes about doing it and how podcasting has helped. But we're going to talk about how he's leveraged it to build his authority, to really connect with his audience, and to be presented with deals and opportunities that he may have never had the opportunity otherwise. So you'll also hear we talk about building out his circle of influence and the amazing effect that podcasting has had for client referrals for David's business. So let's dive into today's episode, our case study with David Saltzman. Hey there, Cashflow Podcasters. I'm really excited because I've got David Saltzman on the line. And I must confess, he is a client of Cashflow Podcasting. We've been working with him for a while. And I wanted to share his story with you, the listener out there, folks who have been considering podcasting for their brand or considering launching a show, because I think that his story and his experience is a very realistic and very insightful view of what podcasting can actually do, what it can't do, and all the elements involved, what it actually takes. So I wanted to have David on. I'm really excited to feature what David has done with you guys, and we'll just dive right into it. So, David, really appreciate you joining us for the show. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks for asking. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. So, I could definitely give people a rundown, but I think I would rather have you let folks know or just share a little bit about yourself and a little bit about the Saltzman Group.
Well, I have had a 30-something year career in all facets of the insurance industry, and have worked for major carriers and have been a broker myself, ran a third-party administrator, all kinds of really interesting stuff. And a few years ago, I decided that I wanted to make kind of a shift and work to my strengths, which is helping folks with marketing and communication. And today, with what's going on, especially on the benefits side of the industry, that's probably more necessary than ever before. A lot of really smart people making a lot of changes, taking some of the chaos around them and snatching opportunity from it. And they needed some tools and techniques, and they needed to know where to go to find folks who were doing cutting edge stuff. And about a year ago, I did a keynote address to 700 brokers up in the North Carolina area and talked about some friends of mine who have a really neat practice that has prospered in Massachusetts even after all of their healthcare reform. At the time, they were 7 years in. and they've had exponential growth, but they've moved from a product-driven to a value-driven model, done some other really smart stuff. And while I was doing that talk, I watched people in the audience's body language change. And for the remaining 2 days of the conference, I was besieged by people. They didn't want to know about what the Saltzman Group did. They wanted to learn more about what my friends up in Massachusetts had done. And so I came back and I thought, well, okay, there are lots of people who are taking shifts in the industry and shaping them to new best practices, new ways of doing stuff. And I've got to be able to find a way to find those folks and get the word out to my friends who are desperately in need of this information. And that's where the idea of Shift Shapers, which is the name of the podcast, came up. And as you said, it's produced by my company, the Saltzman Group. And our motto is helping you to get from here to there. And it's just that simple. We do all kinds of marketing projects for folks, mostly around messaging, communication, branding, and the normal stuff that you'd expect. The podcast was not really ever intended, maybe because I'm not just terribly smart about this stuff, but it was not really intended to drive the Saltzman Group business. It was more of a way to serve a community that I knew had a need and where all these folks were friends of mine. And yet it's worked out a little bit differently.
I think that's incredible. And one of the major focuses here, and I think this makes all the difference, and I'm curious to hear if you'll agree with me, is when you started it, it wasn't necessarily about driving clients, and that's kind of neither here nor there. But what it was about was serving the industry and solving a challenge, solving a problem, helping answer questions that a lot of people were having. You had already roughly proved the concept by having all those people besieging you at this conference after giving a talk about what that agency had done to, you know, see success even in times of strife or challenge, I suppose you could probably call it. So let's, you know, I'll play devil's advocate here a little bit. When did you launch the podcast ballpark, just so that we know about how long you've been at this thing?
Well, we launched April 15th, 2014.
Boy, okay, no guessing there. So when we went live with this thing, one of the questions that I get all the time from folks who are considering podcasting, but they generally have this hesitation because they're not sure. There's no guarantees with any new project, right? You're not sure if there's going to be the audience for it. You're not sure if it's going to actually produce results for you. There's all those questions that pop up when you start any new project, no matter what it's going to be. And there's this hesitation to kind of stick your neck out there and do something new. What was it about this project and about this podcast that allowed you to kind of step over or step through that thought process of, you know, well, what if this doesn't go anywhere? What if nobody listens? What if all of that kind of stuff? Because I've got a thought about what it may be, but I would love to hear directly from you.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of different ways to answer that question. The first, you know, a man much wiser than once said, a ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are for. There isn't an entrepreneur on earth who hasn't faced exactly the dilemma that you just outlined. And it's not just true about launching a podcast. It's true about launching a service business or launching a product or pretty much anything else that you do. You have to have an innate knowledge that the market can be changed and I have the skills to change it. If you start from that perspective, you've got to try stuff. And, you know, I was fortunate. The podcast worked right out of the box. But it only worked because I had all of those years in the industry and because when I wanted the podcast promoted, I went to a couple of places that I've had 15, 20, 30-year relationships with where they have constituencies who needed content. And it's one of the lessons that I learned early on. We can talk about that a little bit later. It's not exactly on point to your question. But you've got to jump in. And if it doesn't work, you learn from it. I always tell people I rarely lose arguments. I either learn from them or I'm right, but losing isn't an option. And, you know, sometimes the stuff you learn from, while it's painful at the time, is a lot of guys to bounce stuff off of because even having you guys helping me put all the initial pieces together, as I recall, it was still kind of a 2 month long, maybe a little bit longer process to get everything done the way I wanted it done. And I knew that my model was going to be sponsor driven. And as an old broadcaster, you know, my thought was I can't put crap out there in the marketplace and expect people to pay for it. I have to put out a first class product. But you got to take the leap. I mean, it's the same as any other entrepreneurial venture.
Well, and so you said something very interesting in there, in that you had said your podcast kind of had some legs right out of the gate because of a few things specifically. One, that you already had people who were willing to promote your content to their audiences because they were in need of the content. They had audiences that needed something like this, and you simply created it and provided it in a way that added value to them and their audiences. But I think the interesting thing to me is there was a very clear need for this show. It wasn't just a harebrained idea that you came up with because you felt like, you know, talking and recording your stuff and smashing it out there. It was created to serve a group of individuals who had a need. And as it coincided, there was a different group of bigger influencers that also had the need for content to provide to other people. So I think you took advantage of, or kind of found yourself in, a really advantageous opportunity to where you had kind of both ends of the need spectrum leading right to where, when you started creating that value, it really plugged in very nicely. And I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, I think most entrepreneurs, most people who start new ventures, most people who build new products have that kind of a constituency, but they don't often realize it. And if they realize it, they don't often, and I mean this in the nicest sense of the word, they don't often exploit it. Almost nobody comes out of the box into a brand new industry with something earth-shattering or something that they, because then you have to have background in what you're doing to build something new. You have to understand there's a need out there. I mean, you know, every entrepreneur on earth could take their motto from the side of a concrete truck. You know, if it says find a hole and fill it. Well, in order to know that hole's out there, you have to have some industry knowledge. You have to have some industry background, which means that you have contacts. And in my case, even though it was right in front of my eyes, it took a while. I think we were one or two podcasts in, and I thought, okay, this is great. I can do this. The content's good. The post-production is easy because you guys helped me with it. And you've taken me through the technical pieces and the thought process of how to start the podcast. But I've got to find a way to get the word out. And in a narrow vertical podcast like the one that we're doing, it's not just as simple as putting it out there and hoping it's a real catchy idea and the general public will grab onto it, because it's not intended for the general public. So I start, constituencies that I have. And I've written a monthly column for a national publication now for almost 16 years. And I happen to have had a conversation with my editor months earlier where she said they're trying desperately to build their online portal. And I thought, well, okay, this is pretty interesting. I've got content and they're trying to build an online portal. This sounds like hamburgers and ketchup or hot dogs and mustard. And so I called them up and said, hey, I've got this podcast. I can send you my first couple as proof of concept. Would you guys be interested in promoting it on your portal and in the couple of e-zines that you're running? And they said, how much will it cost us? And I said, it's free. And they said, we'll take a month and we'll try it. And after two episodes, they got such response, they called me and said, just keep them coming. A little while later, I wanted to take the next step, and it was 7 or 8 episodes further in. So we were now maybe on 2 months in or so. I'm a former president of a national trade association. And I thought, well, they're always looking for content for their members. And I called them and had virtually the same conversation. The takeaway, I think, for people who are listening is, think about what your natural market is. Think about the contacts you've made and how you can leverage other relationships so that it helps both parties, but it will help you get your message out. And that takes a lot of the what if that you were talking about earlier out of the equation, I think. It makes it a lot easier to think that, okay, I've got a reasonable chance of having some early success here.
Mm-hmm. So to track what you've been sharing with us, one of the things that you had said was, when we first kind of started the conversation, was when we launched this podcast, it really wasn't with the intention necessarily of generating clients or generating a whole lot of buzz for the Saltzman Group, which is your consultancy and agency. And since then, things have shifted a little bit. So can you give us a little overview of what you feel podcasting has been able to do for your business, or what it has contributed to your brand over this past many months?
I think it starts with the brand. And for me, and I'll use I'll contrast the experience of the magazine column. You know, every once in a while, I'd be at a trade meeting or someplace and somebody would recognize me from my picture on the head of the column or would actually send me a note that said, hey, really like the column this month. But I could probably count in 15 years the times that happened on the fingers of both hands. The podcast is a whole other animal. It's much more immediate. It's, pardon the pun, it's really in your ear. And now I can't go to a meeting without being stopped every 10 or 12 or 15 feet by someone who's wants to talk about this particular episode that they really dug or that they like, they listen to them all the time or that they've subscribed on iTunes or, hey, you know what? You should do a podcast about such and such and I've got the guest for you to do it. What it's done is not built my consultancy in a direct line, but what it's done is given me the opportunity to have conversations with all of these folks about what it is that I do and how I might be able to help them. Now, beyond that, the same reason that I've always encouraged all of my friends and my clients to blog is because it helps you increase your conversation that you have with your clients and customers in the marketplace. And it's done the same thing for me. It's increased my scope of knowledge about all of the cool stuff that's going on in the industry and the people who are taking those shifts and shaping them. And so when I'm talking to a prospective marketing client, one of the intangibles that I bring to the table that somebody else doesn't is when I'm understanding business in that early phase of understanding what it is they're doing and where they are, where they want to go, how I get them from here to there, as I said earlier, is I can identify needs that they have and plug in perhaps a podcast guest who's got a great service that's absolutely perfect for what this particular client's needs are. And that's a value add. So it's helped in ways that aren't really straight line, if you will, for lack of a better analogy, but that are kind of almost tangential. And maybe I just didn't think about it when I started the podcast, or it wasn't the intention, but it's happening with more and more and more regularity. The third piece is that I've actually been able to put together a couple of deals between people who were podcast guests, and there's some opportunity for me to do marketing work in whatever that relationship is as well, and that's been lucrative. So it's dropped a whole lot of fruit on the ground from just this one tree, and I never really intended it, but it's been great to have.
That's fantastic. And you shared that it has allowed for a lot of these connections to take place now, whether that's you connecting guests to other guests, you connecting potential clients to guests, you connecting potential clients to your own agency. There's a lot of these kind of network of connections of sorts that comes out of this. And what would you say has been the most valuable to you from a business standpoint, whether that's bottom line, whether that's purely just getting you in the door, you know, your foot in the door with the right people? What would you say has been kind of the hands down number one thing that podcasting has been able to do for you?
I think that it's given me the opportunity to make more connections on a broader canvas than I would have been able to do by myself. And also to widen my circle of influence with folks that I know and I can connect. There are people I've spoken to on the podcast, and we're relatively new. I mean, I can only imagine what it's going to be like a couple of years from now. A podcast that I never even knew existed before and doing amazingly really cool things. And a lot of times we have conversations offline and they'll come back to me. It's been, hey, I need some help with my marketing. I really loved working with you on the podcast. You're the kind of guy I want to work with. To, hey, I've got a friend who was telling me they need some help getting this and such done. Or I'll get calls sometimes where someone will say, you know what, I was looking through the archives of your podcast and I was looking for X and I listened to Y podcast and this guy's perfect. Can you tell me more about them? Can you connect me? So it's really been the ability twofold, I think, Ben. It's been the ability to increase my sphere of influence, for lack of a better phrase, and also the ability to make those connections. And sometimes they pay off for other people, but more and more these days, I'm finding they're paying off for me. It certainly has extended my brand.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you had to, just to give listeners an understanding of, you know, when you say increase your circle of influence, I know that's not a very, it's a little bit hard to track, but can you give folks just a rough understanding of Like, are we talking adding, you know, a handful of people to your circle of influence? Or are we talking like a massive shift in the amount of individuals that you're able to connect with and influence?
It's really much broader than even I understand sometimes, because again, the podcast, my podcast, is a one-on-one or one-on-two kind of a medium. And then we send it out to people who download the podcast, have friends who have friends who have friends. And so there have been, I've gotten calls from folks who never listened to the podcast, but who had a friend who told a friend about a podcast and they wanted to talk to me. It's really a force multiplier.
I like that. I like that force multiplier. I'm writing it down. And I think that that's so true for anybody who really uses podcasting in an industry that they're really excited about and that really gets them jacked, because I feel like podcasting is starting to get enough momentum and enough track record behind it that it's starting to get some of the more, like, you know, overnight success wannabe type of individuals coming into it that may not be particularly knowledgeable or particularly passionate about what they've got to share and who they're going to connect with. But I feel like those folks like yourself that are truly interested in their audience, that are truly interested in their market and connecting with those influencers, connecting with people with interesting ideas and sharing them, packaging them up and sharing them in a way, or with the audience in a way that they can benefit greatly, is the absolute key here. So this has been really great, and I really appreciate you sharing with us, David, kind of the arc of how this podcast has progressed for you. And I want to ask, how do you see the podcast shaping out in the future moving forward with you and your brand?
Well, you know, the fundamentals that we started with still apply. I mean, you've got to find your voice, you've got to understand your audience, and you've definitely got to know your message. But we're starting now to go back to something I did a number of years ago. There's a spinoff that I'm working on the treatment for now, which years ago, when I was with the National Association of Health Underwriters Education Foundation, I interviewed authors. That was kind of, you know, some of the idea for doing the podcast maybe came from that. And that was great. There's a lot being written now, especially in the employee benefits side of our industry. And most folks aren't readers. So there's a project that we're starting to put together now. A partner of mine and I are starting to put together now, where we're thinking about doing a podcast, but where we specifically focus in on authors. I think my podcast, the core podcast, will continue. When it started, my notion was we'd probably talk about more tech products and whatnot. And we've had a lot of that. But we've also now started talking more about concepts and how to understanding the population as I do. Their big challenge is moving from, for a lot of them, is moving from being more of a product play to being more of a value play. And so we're now starting to incorporate some best practices and some examples of how other folks have done that and have built a unique value proposition. So we're evolving. And we evolve based on what we hear from our listeners and what we've learned from the podcasts we've done and from continuing to understand that market. You do it in your business. All of us who are successful do it. If you don't understand your market, it doesn't matter how great your idea is. You're probably not pitching it to the right folks. And if you do understand your market and you continue to learn what the needs of your market are and you've got a service mentality and a value mentality, you'll find the flow of that river. And that's what we're finding now, even as I said, just as relatively brief, we're about a year and a half in as we are.
Yeah. And that actually segues into the next question that I wanted to ask you was, you know, essentially, what would you recommend for folks that are out there? Maybe they're coaches, consultants, they're authority brands in their own right. They have value to share. They have an audience that they know they want to share it with, whether they've gathered them yet or not. And they've been considering podcasting as a marketing tool, as a platform growth tool, and as a tool that can, you know, help position them out there as an authority in their space, essentially grow their circle of influence, like you had said, and make those super key connections. And I think you started what you shared about, you know, having your audience's needs and having a very clear understanding of your audience is absolutely going to be a foundational piece of this. But what would you recommend for those folks that have been kind of considering podcasting, or maybe they're considering other marketing avenues as a way for them to figure out what that next step for them might be?
Well, every industry has buyers who buy in a multitude of different ways. And so no matter what you're selling, whether it's a product or a service or advice, whatever it might happen to be, the first thing you have to understand is that those different constituencies have a need. And if you can figure out what that is and you have the expertise to help fill it, then you've got a concept that you can start building around. I think that's got to be the nucleus of any podcast. It's fine to just get a microphone and some recording software and blabber on endlessly. And that might be fun for you, but it's not going to be a worthwhile podcast that will help you grow your business. So you have to start with number one, with what's the need in the market of your intended audience. Let's put it that way. The second thing is, I think you really have to understand what your voice is. I'm fortunate, you know, I do a number of speaking engagements during the course of the year. As I said, I write a column every month. So it's taken me a while to find my voice, but I know what my perspective is and I know what my point of view is. You can't just barge on in and be mushy about it, because listeners are very discerning. And if they think that you're not headed to true north, whatever that is for you, they'll stop listening in a heartbeat. And finally, I think you really have to come from a place where you feel as though you're providing value. Content is great, and great content is even better, but valuable content is the coin of the realm.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head right there. Without that chunk, I feel like the rest of it is all for naught. And I think that's where most folks find themselves spinning their wheels. And those are the types of individuals that have, let's say, been podcasting or blogging or, you know, creating a video series or whatever for multiple months and aren't seeing results from it. And it's generally, about 9 times out of 10, you can trace it back to they haven't clarified the need, they haven't clarified their stance, and they haven't clarified how that value connects. So, David, really appreciate you coming on today. Thank you so much. I really love the story and your journey and am absolutely thrilled that we get to share it with the Cashflow Podcasting listeners. Before we go, is there anything that you would love to wrap with for these individuals?
Take the first step. If you've sat down and you've taken the time to define what your message is, what your point of view is, you know who your audience is, all the things that we've spoken about for the last little while, Ben, if you can answer all of those questions, then take the first step and jump in. It's a lot easier than you think it's going to be. There are great people like you who your organization that will help folks get started. There are also great do-it-yourself resources out there. Technology is so ubiquitous. It's so inexpensive. It's so easy to use. I mean, I wasn't joking about, you know, when I did radio years ago, we had tons and tons of equipment and everything ran over telephone lines. And, you know, now we record podcasts over Skype and we do it using a laptop wherever we happen to be. It's a whole different universe. So it's easy to do. The hard part is figuring out all of those predicates, all the things we talked about before.
Oh, I can't second that advice enough. So thank you so much, David. And if you want to learn more about David and connect with him, David, where can folks connect with you best?
They can write to me at david@thesaltzmangroup.com, or they can check out the podcast site, which is shiftshapersonline.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, David.
Thanks, Ben.
If you've been considering podcasting for your brand, or you've actually started a podcast for your brand, but it hasn't provided results. It's not generating sales. It's not building and growing your email list, and it's not driving your authority. Then I created a tool for the listeners of Cashflow Podcasting. I get very consistent questions, 7 critical questions actually, around using podcasting as a marketing tool. So if you're listening, I created a 10 video mini course that will teach you everything you need to know about podcasting for business and exactly what you need to get started. So some of the questions we address are, you know, is podcasting a proven model and what business types and structures does it work best for? We even have a 3-minute yes or no test that you can go through that will help you determine whether or not podcasting is going to be the best tool for you. We talk about monetizing your podcast by turning listeners into paying customers and clients, and we talk about the exact tools and tricks you need to get your podcast started with no fluff and no confusion. So you can grab that absolutely free at cashflowpodcasting.com/start. I encourage you to go there now, get the free mini course, and get started.